Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake BJ Shea is on assignment, but running the boards is Joey D. It's Wednesday, and that usually means comic book day. And we'll talk a little bit about some sort of comic adjacent stuff. Maybe, kind of. I mean, we'll talk about the fact that we do have a date for Umbrella Academy Season 3. Very excited for that. We'll also talk about the final trailer for Sonic 2. Actually, kind of really excited for that one.
Right.
We will talk a board game that is out on pre-order called Heroes of Barcadia. This one's for 21 and older because you drink.
Drink.
The Barcadia.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
And getting right into the gigantic news for at least everyone on this podcast, Umbrella Academy, we knew that the Season 3 would be coming out.
Yes.
We didn't realize when it was going to happen until Netflix dropped a teaser that said, June 22nd is when we will experience Umbrella Academy Season 3.
And the teaser they dropped, it was like a meeny tiny trailer where it wasn't even a trailer. You can see it was like the first couple of seconds of the first episode, basically right where they left off when they're meeting the Sparrow Academy.
Yes, in the Sparrow Academy in the comics, and then more, obviously we're going to talk about more for this show, is a derivative of the Umbrella Academy, because basically Big Papa decided that, you know, these kids are kind of pieces of crap and not really that great. So I'm going to find a different group of kids and see if maybe I can do a little bit better with them.
And I will say, if you guys do decide, like, hey, I'm going to read the comics, because there are three issues out, or not three issues, but three trades out, they're very different from the show. And it makes sense. If you read them, there's a lot that they could not include into the show without it being way too confusing. And even then, like, with
super
all the
weird
time travel and all this other stuff, it does get confusing a little bit if you're not really into this sort of thing. That being said, the Sparrow Academy was like a different, kind of like a different universe, I believe. Like we're seeing with everything else right now and every other, like, DC and Marvel.
Variants,
and
multiverse, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yes. But it looks like they're going to be doing some tumbling.
And it's, like, the most interesting thing about it is, like, you see the fact that Ben is still around because he's still alive because he wasn't killed due to the original Umbrella Academy.
Right. And because, I mean, he technically was there when they met their dad in the past, but he was a ghost, so he didn't actually see his dad.
So his dad still recruited him.
Yes.
So he's still a part of it, and he's still alive at this point in time. The one that was super confusing and we're still looking at kind of strange is like the meat cube that apparently is one of the kids.
Yeah.
Just some weird floating cube.
Well, if you guys don't remember, if you guys don't know anything about Umbrella Academy, it is based in the exact same day, the exact same minute, women all over the earth gave birth to children. It was like 40-something of them or something like that.
A large amount, yeah.
But they weren't pregnant at the beginning of the day. They literally, within minutes, became pregnant, full-on pregnancy, and gave birth right then and there. And these children were special children. So Hargreaves, which is Big Papa, goes out and buys or tries to get as many kids as he could, and he ended up getting 7 in the original series. And so he trains them to be basically little assassin fighters because he wanted to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. In the comic, you find out, and by the way, I'm going to be saying stuff that, well, maybe spoiler season 2, so if you haven't seen season 2 yet, skip ahead a little bit.
Yep.
We find out in season 2 he is in fact an alien. This is something we find out at the very beginning in the comic series. So what does this all mean? What's happening? What is he preparing them for?
Yeah.
Something bigger is on the way, because basically since season 1, there's always the world is going to end and we need to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2 had the same thing. They brought the end of times with them.
Yeah. They kind of screwed it all up. And then it was in Dallas in the past.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, that's the whole reason why when they come back to the future, there's a whole new group there because of, well, shenanigans.
Right. And it is such a fantastic show. The cool thing about season 3, there is a big difference that's going to be happening.
What's that?
Season 1 and season 2 were rated TV-14. This season is now going to be rated TVMA. So it is.
Oh.
Yes, it is going to be not suitable for anybody under 17.
Interesting.
So it's going to be, it looks as it may contain crude, indecent language, explicit sexual activity, or graphic violence. And there has been a lot of violence, a lot of badass fight sequences, but it's nothing like super brutal and gory. So far, not that I can remember.
Yeah, I don't necessarily remember any like specific scene or anything that was like, oh my God.
I mean, there's been a few times where some characters have been covered in blood, but nothing too insane.
Yeah.
Even like anything sexual has been fairly tame or kind of like in the distance. You don't really see that. So I'm curious to see what they will be doing.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this. The fact that I've got to wait until June kind of sucks, but at the same point in time, gives me a chance to read the third comic graphic
that
novel.
You've had, that is mine, for like, what, a year?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's
before,
been a while.
Since before season two came out.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'll like, you let me borrow the first two.
Yes, and you read those.
Yeah, I read those, gave them back, you gave me the third one, and I'm like, I'll get to this. And then I sent Vicky a message the other day. I was like, I swear, I promise, I'm going to read it and get it back. And she's like, I forgot you had it.
Yes.
So I'm like,
I mean, I can give you the first two. And if you want to buy me the Apocalypse Suite Deluxe Edition on Amazon, they have right now, hardcover.
Might do that for your birthday.
Yay!
Just as an apology.
And I'll give you the other two.
Okay. We'll see how that works out in there. But yeah, very stoked for what's going on with Umbrella Academy. Moving on from that, another thing that I didn't really expect to be stoked about was the final trailer for Sonic 2. I'll be perfectly honest, I haven't seen the first one. I know that there was the gigantic hullabaloo about the fact that Sonic looked really weird with actual human teeth.
He looked like a foot with teeth.
Yeah, like little beady eyes. Like, no. They were just doing it really weird. The whole internet lost their mind collectively about that. But the thing was that the producers and like the suits like listened.
Yep.
That was the thing that blew my mind. They're like, you know what? You're right. We need to fix this. So they went back and they went through it and they delayed the movie to make Sonic more like what Sonic was in the video games and the cartoons and the comics themselves. And A, people appreciated it. People went out to see the movie and a lot of people like it.
It got like 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes for the audience score. I think it got in the 60s for the reviewers.
Which makes sense. I mean, it's a kid video game movie. You're not going to win Oscars with it. Maybe for like best animation or something like that, or fastest blue guy in a movie. I don't know.
Seriously, blue guy though, in a movie. If you just take out the elements of these animated, you know, what do they call it?
Anthropomorphic.
That. You have, you know, Tails and Knuckles and Sonic. You take that out, this, you could have fooled me into thinking this was like the next Avengers type movie. The trailer was so badass.
Yeah, and this was one of those ones where you hear like a cell phone going off and it's the Sonic theme, or you hear the rings doing the very familiar ding noise that you would remember when playing the game. Like, it hits on those, but still feels like a new, fresh movie.
Yeah, these Sonic movies have done a way better job than the Power Ranger movies did of doing a reboot.
Right. Oh, dude, yeah, right. I need to figure out where the first Sonic is because I want to watch. Hulu?
I just looked it up.
Boom, because I'm going to be watching this because I'm really interested in seeing, because people have liked it. And I, like, it was in the background, like, at my niece's house when watching it. So it was one of those, like, I'm like, okay, that looks pretty good on the small screen. Now this thing has got me stoked because it's got Knuckles, which is voiced by Idris Elba.
Right, but it's an American accent, so it threw me off.
Yeah, like, you don't necessarily recognize it as that. Jim Carrey's back as Dr. Robotnik.
Looks so cool. Like, even so, his costume and like his mustache was a little different from, it looks like, the first movie and the second movie. The second movie looks more cartoon like accurate.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He I love Jim Carrey because he knows how to play a wacky dude.
Oh, absolutely. And even like if you've even seen it on the like on the posters and stuff, you still see Tails.
Yes.
Which you might not know, but it's the two-tailed fox that is his buddy in the video games. Yep, you can fly, turn his little tail into a helicopter. But yeah, and the big one for me on this too is that the whole focal point around this is Robotnik's back because he found the source of ultimate power, which are the Chaos Emeralds.
Yes!
Which were a huge thing in the video games. And
in the cartoon series that
I used
to watch.
And the only way that you could get the good, quote-unquote, good ending in the video games were to find all of the Chaos Emeralds in the bonus stages.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're incorporating all of this means that the people, at the very least, did a little bit of research on the video game, so it's not going to turn turn into something like what Super Mario Brothers was back in the 90s. Oh,
well, like, geez. Did the research and made it. It looks like it's going to work. I'm not going to say this is going to be the greatest, video game movie of all times, but it looks like they put the genuine effort into it. Because, like, Mortal Kombat, as awesome as it looked from the trailers and stuff, that one flopped.
Yeah, I liked it, but... Also, I understand why it flopped.
I mean, Assassin's Creed, I was really excited when I heard Michael Fassbender was going to be a part of that, and I heard that was hot garbage.
It was not good.
I'm trying to think, is there, what other video game movie, and my computer died, so I can't look it up right now, but like, what video game movie would you say is one of the best?
One of them just came out, and I feel like, I can't remember.
And I mean, you can count it. I did watch the Angry Birds movie, which is technically a phone game. It's technically still a game.
Yeah.
That was a fun kid movie. It was
okay,
fun.
Okay, because I think the first Resident Evil I felt was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, once it got into, like, the seventh or eighth, I don't even know how many movies they have. It just got so ridiculous and so stupid. So, yeah, I don't necessarily think that was good.
I think I saw the first like 10 minutes of it and I got scared.
It would absolutely be that for you. There's not a lot of really good video game movies. I'm interested to see what Uncharted will do, but I haven't gone to see it.
A lot of people did say that was pretty fun. I kind of got the vibe from what people were saying. It had more of a, like, when you watch Fast and the Furious, you know what you're getting yourself into. It's a popcorn flick. You're going to have fun. You want to see the action. You want to, like, that's kind of the vibe I got from it.
And to be perfectly honest, like, I just looked up a Rotten Tomatoes list of, like, the 48 video game movies ranked by Tomato Meter. And I'm not going to get into them. I just wanted to say that there's a couple of movies that are above 60%. But once you get out of the top four, nothing is above 54%.
That's right. Like, they're all bad.
That's the problem. Yep. There's not a lot of good ones. It might be good because you love the game and you just are like accepting of what the movie is.
I remember what I was thinking, though. It's the upcoming one that's coming out. That's the BioShock movie that I'm excited about.
Yeah. I am excited for that, yeah.
And I know they're doing a Halo series.
Yes.
I forget where that's coming out on, but I think that's coming out sometime in the near future.
Well, fingers crossed on that one, people.
Absolutely. So, I mean, other than like this Sonic, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch the original since it is on Hulu. Very easy for me to, easy to do. And then I'm going to check this one out. This might be another one of those things where I wait, just like what I did with Venom, and I'll probably wait for a Let There Be Carnage, is just wait till it comes out on the home screen. Like, these don't necessarily seem to be, for me, the movie-going experience movies.
Especially since in the last couple of years, whether or not you like going to a movie theater and everything's, like, opened up more and depending what city you're in, it still feels weird to go to a movie theater. You forget that that's an option.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I really want to have to see a movie in theaters to go see it. Spider-Man.
And like, even waiting, like, I'm going to go see, like, Joe on Friday gave us his review of the Batman. I'm going to go see that in the theater.
Yes.
And now the fact that HBO Max isn't doing the dual releases, it gives the need of having to go out and do that. Or just be willing to wait. And if you're willing to wait, you just have to be accepting of the fact that you're going to have to deal with spoilers.
Yes.
And stuff like that. Like, you can go see them in the theaters. And obviously, if you're not comfortable enough with that, either get off the internet for however many months that you want to, or just deal with it and just move on with your life.
And, like, going back to the whole Batman thing, like, I haven't felt the need, like I did with Spider-Man, to go rush to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like it was going to be a spoilery-filled movie, much like I assumed Spider-Man was going to be in basically any Marvel movie or show at this point is going to have a lot of like big reveals. I didn't feel like that was going to happen in the Batman or nobody has posted any spoilers. I haven't seen any and it's been a few weeks.
It's weird. You could get a lot of stuff in the Batman spoiled. I'm surprised that nothing was.
At least not for me yet. Yeah, knock on wood.
Yeah, neither. Yeah, I didn't get anything either. And maybe it's because what happens in the movie isn't something that people don't know has happened before in the Batman series, but there's a lot of stuff that they like do throughout the movie where you could get spoiled immediately.
So the average person maybe doesn't realize it's a spoiler, an Easter egg or something.
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, let us know how you feel about Sonic, or maybe you guys have some really good video game movies that you can let us know that, stand the test of time, because I don't know on that.
Mortal Kombat 1, baby.
is solid, but cheesy, dude.
Aren't it's very cheesy.
Aren't they doing a Street Fighter as well?
I don't know. don't know.
I know which one. I know which one they got to do. Street Fighter versus Capcom.
Marvel versus Capcom.
That's the one we need.
I mean, break open that multiverse and bring Mega Man into it. Why not?
Make it an animated series. Put it on Disney Plus. I'll watch it.
Since BJ's not here and he's probably playing board games, he did send us this, which is very interesting because we have had drinking games that revolve around like RPGs. We've had my good Canadian buddy up there talking about Drinking Quest,
yes,
which had come out with so many expanded stuff. Jason Anarchy has done some amazing things with all of the different stuff. So check out Jason Anarchy and Anarchy Games. But this one was kind of interesting too because it uses the same idea that your drink is your life total. And so this is called Heroes of Barcadia, which you can actually right now pre-order on BackerKit. So it was a Kickstarter. It is successful, and they are putting it out there. The company is Rollacrit, R-O-L-L-A-C-R-I-T. You can go to rollacrit.com. They've got Heroes of Barcadia right up on the top, so you can find out about it. But it is a puntastic dungeon exploration board game that also involves drinking. Some of the features on this is you fight with a unique liquid life system where you drink when you take damage. Always an interesting way to put that.
Gosh.
Yep. You build out a custom dungeon every time you play. You fight a horde of hilarious monsters, each with their own drink-related persona. And you compete with your friends in a 60 to 90-minute contest of wits, wills, and spirits. Some of the characters, which I love, like any of these sort of things, especially with like Drinking Quest in this game, like having some puns that go along with it make it a lot of fun, including a weapon called the India Pale Flail.
Okay.
As a, you know, the IPF instead of the IPA. The Micro Brunicorn.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. The Grand Drink Guardian. The Hop Goblin. the Mimosasaurus.
Ah, the Mimosasaurus Rex. You gotta watch out for that one.
Yep, yep. And then you can heal yourself with the Thirst Aid. And, of course, you always got to worry about the big boss, Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
So a lot of funs with all of this. Heroes from all across Barcadia have gathered to claim glory in the realm's greatest drinking competition. Alas, on the eve of the festivities, a band of monsters stole all the drinks and hoarded them somewhere in a perilous, sprawling dungeon. Do you have what it takes to outmaneuver your opponents and become the hero who reclaims the precious drink hoard? And you battle monsters and bosses to collect power-ups with mystical abilities. Some of those relics can give you a winning advantage in your race for the drink hoard. And then you use devious loot cards to ruin your opponent's plans, all while making sure your health bar cup doesn't empty out. Nice guys finish last in this fast-paced, ever-changing, puntastic party game for fantasy and beverage connoisseurs alike. And, I mean, just like it's one of those lay a tile sort of games.
Okay.
So, you know, lay it out in front of you. We just recently, I played this with our good old friend Chris Walker. There was a game, a D&D game called Castle Ravenloft, which is a pretty fun horror-inspired D&D game. But it's that same sort of idea where you'll be placing the map or the map tiles as you're going along. So like they said, it's a game that is ever-changing. You can play it over and over and over again.
I'm going to say I might fight a lot of bosses in that game to drink a lot of alcohol, apparently.
And here's something that's amazing, too. So if you go to rollacrit.com, you can find it on there. You can get more information all about it. You can get the pre-orders via BackerKit right now. I love the fact that one of their selling points is that the game is 100% waterproof. I think that's probably the best idea you would ever need for something like this. And also, it's coming to Roll20. So if you've ever played D&D via a virtual tabletop, Roll20 and I think Fantasy Grounds are the two big ones. Roll20 is the one that I use right now. The fact that they're bringing it to that is going to be helpful because you can play it over the computer or you can just have that all set up. So maybe you don't have to worry about all of that when you're hanging out with your friends.
All you have to do is provide your own beverage.
Right, exactly. And I don't know if necessarily, I think I would probably go with like maybe a beer or a hard seltzer when it comes down to these.
A Scheider?
I played some D&D, did the Airbnb D&D over the weekend, and I only had one drink each of the nights that we were gaming because I went with the Dark and Stormy, which is ginger beer and rum.
And I give myself a strong pour, which I find out as I'm drinking it. I'm about halfway through it. I'm like, I don't need any more tonight if I want to be thinking about anything.
My mind is dark and stormy.
So, like I said, you can go to rollacrit.com, or if you search on Kickstarter, Heroes of Barcadia, you can find it. And it was a big one. It wasn't looking for nearly as much as it got, because it over $1.2 million over 13,000 people backed it. So this is a very popular one from an established company and loaded with tons of features. Go check that out. But now it is time to get to
the Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Hey, Vicky, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
What do you got going on over there?
So it is comic book day, so I'm going to talk about a comic book show that I have been bugging you guys to watch forever.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who has listened to me is BJ, and he now understands that I have impeccable taste for nerdy shows, because he very much likes this show too. I have not introduced him to a show he does not like.
This is absolutely true, too. Like, this is one of those things where, like, BJ will like to crap on you about certain things. And especially if you didn't recommend a really good thing, he would 100% let you know.
Yes. And here's the thing. He has crapped on my taste until I make him watch or read it, because I've given him comic books, same thing. And then he's like, oh, my God, this is phenomenal. I'm like, yeah, did you not see who wrote it? Like, of course it's phenomenal. Like, I know I'm not going to tell you to watch something you're not going to enjoy.
Right.
Like, I know you guys. Like, you guys are like my weird, like, adopted, morphed in family. Like,
yeah, not wrong.
Well, I'll be like, Rev, you'll like this. Joe, you will hate this.
Time travel.
But actually, yes. So far, the show does not have any time travel.
Ooh.
It's an animated show on HBO Max, and it is Harley Quinn.
Yes, you have mentioned that, and you've even sent me, like, completely out of context clips, and
yes,
it cracks me up, because I'm just like, what the hell is this? And then just the fact that, Ron Funches is King Shark.
Oh my God, he's so
great.
I
love Ron Funches with all my heart. The fact that he's, like, doing Shark, like, it's hilarious.
And Ron Funches is the comedian, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Ron Funches is King Shark. That was a mouthful. King Shark is very different from Stallone's King Shark in the Suicide Squad movie.
100%.
Because in the Suicide Squad movie, he's more of like a child. He's kind of dumb. And in this one, he's actually a computer genius.
Oh.
And there's a part where he's like, they're on a mission. He's like, Harley, I want to thank you that you're letting me use my brains and not just, you know, my shark powers, basically. And because he was going to do some hacking in a computer, and then he goes and bites the head off a security guard.
Wow.
So he's still very shark-like, but he's getting into work in the computer thing. So I really love this. There's a few things, like pieces of news that have come out because of this show. We knew that season 3 was coming out for a while now. There was that weird, like, are we getting a season 3? Are we not? It ended on a really cool note. Even James Gunn was like, hey, this needs to happen. We need a season 3. You guys watch it, watch. And I was like, heck, I'm watching it like every day right now. Like,
yeah,
let's get this going. I'm doing my part, James Gunn. This is the one with Kaylee Cuoco voicing Harley Quinn. She doesn't force the typical Harley Quinn accent.
Which is, you know what? That's kind of a breath of fresh air.
For a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One, because we already have a fantastic, I know we were talking about on the last episode, fantastic casting.
Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is phenomenal.
Absolutely.
That being said, I feel like having Margot Robbie, even the accent and stuff, and having Kaylee Cuoco do the accent, it would have been just too much.
Yeah.
It could get annoying.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few times you can hear the accent come out a little. And I think that's cute, and I like that.
But it's not in-your-face sort of thing that the Harley Quinn character absolutely 100% is all the time.
It's just like, oh, you'd hurt him for me, and that's about it. Like, that's not much. But, like I said, James Gunn was very much, hey, we need this show to come out. Like, we want a season 3. Do your thing. And it has been revealed that he is going to be in the Harley Quinn season 3 as himself.
Wait, what?
As an animated character. As of yet, I haven't really seen when we're supposed to be getting it. It's supposed to be sometime this year. Not 100% sure when. They haven't announced that. But, you know, we do have James Gunn, who just did Peacemaker on HBO Max.
Which is fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go and binge it. Just binge it. Just do it now.
So good.
Stop this podcast. Go watch it.
There's been so many people that are like, thank you for introducing me to Peacemaker.
Right?
Like I said, I know what I'm talking about. But I'm very excited to see how they incorporate him.
Yeah, I want to see if it's more than just if it's just like a little cameo sort of thing, or like what they do at The Simpsons, where they kind of involve a character from pop culture in the entirety mm-hmm. of the episode, or if maybe he's got a whole storyline. Who knows?
There might be. There was, and I think he even voiced himself in the second or third episode of season one. We had Howie Mandel make an appearance. He was doing his own show, and the Joker, like, basically blows him up.
Oh, geez.
It's like, no, not Howie. He blew up. There have been a few little things like that. Like, oh, here's this famous person. Like, Tim Burton makes an appearance.
Cool.
Funny enough, right. He doesn't say anything, but he was Catwoman's date to a wedding. And it's like, oh, come on, let's get out of here. Like, that sort of thing.
That actually does make a lot of sense. but
like I said, he doesn't say anything. Clayface really wants to impress him and be in his next movie, and he starts singing and stuff in front of him. Seriously, if you haven't seen this, and if you have access to HBO Max, I very much recommend it. There's already two seasons out. There's a decent amount of episodes. I think they're 30 minutes long. So many phenomenal voice actors. Lake Bell plays Poison Ivy. Alan Tudyk is both Joker and Clayface. and I love that, like, Joker, especially in the first bit, he wasn't like a main, like, he was a main storyline because it's Harley trying to get away from him, like, breaking up with him and kind of establishing herself as a main badass supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, obviously, that's when you, if you've ever broken up with someone, especially if you're a girl, you want to prove how badass you are after the breakup, and you need to shove it in everyone's faces. So that is her story. And then learns that, you know what, she doesn't need him. She has everything she needs in her group of friends.
Aww.
But it's a lot more badass, and then it gets a lot more complicated than that. but like I said, Ron Funches is King Shark. Tony Hale as Dr. Psycho. I believe I get him confused with the other guy, but I believe he was in either like a Community or one of those shows, or like Arrested Development. He is in everything right now. He's also in Crossing Swords.
He was absolutely. He was the younger brother in Arrested Development.
I think he was the hook hand guy.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Jason Alexander is
Buster Bluth. That's right. Yeah.
Jason Alexander is Cyborgman. Jason Alexander, you do know him I'm blanking. Seinfeld.
Okay, yeah, it is him. Okay.
Which is funny because I think Newman makes an appearance a few times as
Newman.
He is a Penguin.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like
That's
I said.
Funny.
Like, J.B. Smoove as Frank the Plant, also fantastic.
Frank the Plant.
Oh, he is such a salty bee. He's such a sassy, salty piece of crap sometimes. but even, you won't know who this is, James Ottomaine, but he plays Bane and is probably one of my favorite Bane voices I've ever heard.
That's awesome.
So please go watch it. In other news, though, a big character that was brought to light in the Harley Quinn show, one that we've never seen on screen, is a character named Kite Man. And he's just as ridiculous as you would think. He is real from the comics. And he ends up he dates Poison Ivy for a while in this series. He
literally has a giant kite strapped to his back.
And he is a complete mess. Like, he thinks he's like a badass supervillain, even though, like, personality-wise, he's actually very sweet. He's a really nice human being. Aww. He's just kind of dumb. He's like, we're going to go do a caper and maybe fight or kidnap. I don't know, but kites are involved. he's just, like, a genuinely nice person who just wants to be a supervillain to prove to, like, mom and dad and to everyone else that he can be badass or he could be a cool person. You really fall for this character. Matt Oberg voices him, but they did announce that they're going to be doing a Kite Man spinoff series on HBO Max as well.
Jeez.
I don't know if it's going to be like a continuation, like his story on, because they'll probably have Kite Man in season 3, but where it ended off, him and Ivy broke up. So how much we'll see of Kite Man in season 3, I don't know. So maybe this will be a continuation from that point on.
I was doing an internet search where you're looking. I needed to look up Kite Man. That's why I was laughing about it. I found his wiki for the Harley Quinn thing. And this paragraph is probably the greatest paragraph of anything I've ever seen. And the reason why I need to watch this show, I know you've been telling me that, but it's literally, Kite Man had his bachelor party with King Shark, Clayface, and Frank the Plant out on a boat in the open sea. He specifically did not want any strippers or any other temptations, preferring a few beers and a puzzle. Eventually, a talking lobster named Samson scuttled on board and accosted King Shark, and although Kite Man, who wondered if King Shark owed the lobster money and offered his support, the lobster managed to browbeat King Shark into leaving the boat for the seafloor. Yeah, what the hell was that?
That is a whole storyline, and it's, oh man, that was a good episode.
I guess so, man. That's just the thing. It's like, all right, I know I've been told to watch this. Now I am absolutely sold.
And I love it because Frank the Plant is also on the boat, and he's like, oh my God, a talking lobster. Have you ever seen anything as crazy as that? And there's obviously King Shark. There is Frank the Plant talking.
Talking plant.
J.B. Smoove, like, he's one of my favorite characters, Frank the Plant, on this series. And he doesn't get as much, obviously, screen time as some of the other bigger characters, but when he is on screen, he steals the show.
That's amazing.
So please watch it and let me know what you think.
Yeah.
Same with you guys out there listening in listening land. I want everybody to watch the show because I would love a season 4 and I would love a season 5 if possible. It's an animated show. I know it's not as demanding as actually filming a DC show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.